So I want to look today at look deeper today. Let us see some of the reasons why we fellowship and the essence of this thing we call Christianity. It's very important that we understand why we do certain things that we do. Why do we fellowship? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come? These are very basic foundations that we have to know as Christians. Because some people just wake up in the morning, kneel down by their bed and do a prayer. Some people are in the habit of getting dressed on a Sunday morning and going to church. And many forms of religious practice that we see in the earth today. But if we do not know what we are after, or if we don't know the purpose of what Christianity is all about, then it is nothing but a waste of time. It's just vain worship, vain idol worship. Amen. You can do all the kind of things that people do around in the world of religion. All you're just doing is like following the blind. It's like the blind following the blind, and they end up in a pit, which is a realm further and further away from the love of God and from the reality of God's glory. Jesus Christ came to do one thing. He came to reveal the kingdom of God to each and every one of us. He came to teach us, to give us understanding that the kingdom of God is a reality that we can all attend to right now where we are. If you truly want to praise God, or you truly want to worship God, or you truly want to be a servant of God, you can only attend to that place when you are in God's kingdom, because flesh and blood cannot praise God. You understand my point? Flesh and blood cannot praise God. What is flesh and blood? We're talking of a normal, mortal human being with his concept and his ideas of God cannot reach God in prayer. All those fasting and all those things that we see people do, clapping their hands and staying all night and doing all these things, does not reach anywhere near God as long as the man remains in that form that he is. Jesus Christ says that the hour is coming when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What he's trying to simply say is that flesh and blood cannot worship God. You understand my point? Flesh and blood cannot worship God. It's only as you put on the spiritual identity of Christ that you can worship God. That is why that is the all-important saying that we must reduce and the Christ must increase. See, but people do not understand even what this Christ is all about. The only way you can ever worship God, or you can ever please God, is only as you conform yourself to the image of Christ. Flesh and blood cannot praise God. You cannot please God. The people of this world cannot praise God. They cannot praise God. You can have the most beautiful choirs in this world and have the most beautiful singing groups, the most beautiful voices, But all those things cannot reach God the Father. You understand my point? Those things do not reach God the Father. You can only reach God the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth is Christ. Christ is the spirit. Christ is the truth. Amen? The flesh profited nothing. It's the spirit that giveth life. The flesh is that identity that we have put on in this material world. It is that identity that we have won. I am this, I am that, I am that. Amen? It is that sense of false sense of identity apart from God that we have put on in this world. Each and every one, everybody in this world has his own identity. That he's a male, he's a female, he's American, he's African, isn't it? He's Italian. That carnal mind that we put on in this world is what makes us flesh and blood. It's what causes us to identify ourselves with a flesh and blood body. And today, this is the root of all evil. This body that people put on in this world, this flesh and blood body. Because as long as you identify yourself with that body that you put on in this world, you cannot see the glory of God. This is what makes you angry. This is what makes you jealous. This is what makes you feel limited. This is what makes you not to recognize your brother. Amen? So we have to dissolve it. When Adam sinned in the beginning, Adam actually descended from the presence of God. Amen? Let us understand these things clearly now. I want to speak very clearly. Because the idea is to understand what Christianity is all about. What the faith is all about. Amen? God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam was placed, created perfect to the praise of the glory of God. And he was put in the Garden of Eden, which is actually located in the kingdom of God, which is also located where? Upon Mount Zion. The kingdom of God upon Mount Zion, that is the city upon the hill. Paul says that we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. When John saw the New Jerusalem descending from heaven, he actually saw it descending upon what? A high mountain. So you can see that Mount Zion is the location of God's glory, it's the location of God's garden. Remember that Israel was actually a garden in the midst of a desert. It was like a blossoming garden in the midst of a desert. And that is the state of those people who know God. But Adam descended. Adam fell. When he took of the knowledge of good and evil, remember that the serpent that crawls on the ground is actually the carnal mind. The serpent that crawls on the ground talks of what? The carnal mind. It is not some kind of serpent outside. It is the carnal mind. And when Adam succumbed to the carnal mind, that is the temptation to identify himself with the flesh, he now looked at himself and saw his naked. It was now, he lost an awareness of himself in the glory of God and now started to look at himself as an entity separate from God. That was the cause of his sin. And Adam actually fell from where? From the mountain of God. Adam was created like the angel of light, fell from God's glory to the ground. That's why he said, dust you are. Yes. So in actual fact, when man walks according to the flesh, when man walks in the flesh and blood identity or mentality, is actually what? Dust. That's where you see pride, the pride of life, the lust of the pride of life. That is the vainness in the minds of men who live according to the dust. Because what happens is that they have exchanged their glory, that is their true immortal glory. Listen carefully. These are words I must listen to. They have changed their what? Their glory. Their original glory. What is the original glory that we had? It is the glory of God. It is an immortal glory. Immortal. We are not carnal, flesh and blood beings that just born today and die of tomorrow like that. God actually generated us in his glory like God. The thing that they call death only came alive when Adam took of what? Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was when he succumbed to the temptations of the carnal mind. Amen. Let us understand that within each of us, we are like a garden. You know that? And on the inside of us, there is a tree of what? Of life, and there is a tree of the knowledge and good and evil. The tree of life on the inside of us is the spirit of what? Christ. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the carnal spirit. Amen. And if we take of the carnal spirit, we do what? We fall and we die. That is the cause of the problem today. Because people fetch out of the wisdom of the carnal spirit. Now, what does the carnal spirit do? It causes you to live according to this what? Material world. The carnal spirit does not know the spiritual things of what? Of God. God is spirit, isn't it? God's kingdom is what? It's spirit. Amen. Everything that pertains to God and his kingdom is what? It's spirit. They are invisible. But the carnal mind wants to see. Isn't it? He wants to touch. He wants to taste. Amen. That is why you have the concept. People feel that the kingdom of God is some kind of city somewhere in the sky where they go up, you know, and they go there to eat spaghettis and, you know, to have parties forever and in eternity, in heaven somewhere, upon gold beds, gold mansions, you know. And all these imaginations come because man is fetching his knowledge from the what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a tree that works according to the sight. When you eat out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it is then that you do not recognize the brethren. It is then that you begin to look at people according to the flesh. It is then that you begin to say that this person is from that family. This person is from that country. This person is from what? That denomination. You know? But when you eat from the tree of life, which is the truth, which is the wisdom that comes from above, is the wisdom of what? Of Christ. What happens? You see the way Christ sees. You see the way God sees. Because the Spirit of God actually, the Spirit of Christ actually does what? He knows the deep thoughts of God. He thinks the way God thinks. He acts the way God acts. Amen? So the Spirit of Christ actually is he gives you spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding. And when you have that spiritual understanding, you can now live in the glory of God. You can now walk in the glory of God. Amen? The kingdom of God is what? Is a kingdom of what? Joy, gladness, peace, salut, health, everything that you can ever think of. It's a kingdom of power. Amen? It's a realm that you walk in where you do not walk by sight, but by faith. It's a realm that you walk in where the elements of this world serve you. Everything in this world begins to serve you. Because you are the Lord of hosts when you come to this realm. Amen. So what is the gospel all about? Because Jesus Christ came to preach what? Repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is what? Is at hand. Repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Christ came to reveal the kingdom of God in us. He came to cause us to be able to enter into the unlimited life of God's kingdom. Because when you live outside of God's kingdom, you live among the nations. That means you live among the spiritual Gentiles. These are people who are cut off from what? From the life of God. They are cut off from the goodness of God. They are suffering. All these things that you see people running up and down and doing is what? It's fatigue. It's just what they call suffering for survival. They are not living. Men are not living in the glory of God. Men are what? Strugglers. Sweating day and night to make ends meet. Afraid for tomorrow. How you will dress, how you will pay your house rent, how you pay your mortgages. Isn't it? Afraid for tomorrow, whether you fall sick, how you're going to feed your child. And all these fears that people have in this world is what? Is as a result of that life they live away from the glory of God. But when we enter into the glory of God and our eyes are opened to behold the unlimited resources of God, we enter into our rest. You do not have to struggle anymore. Because you come to a realm where the things that you ever need for your sustenance in this material world, they magnet to you. They come to you. Man, that's why Jesus Christ said what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Isn't it?
Yes.
And all these other things will be what? Will be added. Hallelujah. Stop seeking material things. Stop seeking things that men seek. Because when you seek the things that men seek, you will never find satisfaction. But when you seek that one kingdom of God, that glory of God, then you come to the place of what? Of total satisfaction. You come to the place of rest, where your soul what? Rests in God. So we have to seek the kingdom of God. Our intention is to what? To capture the heel of the Lord. To go back to God's kingdom. The Bible says what? The kingdom of God suffered violence. Jesus Christ said this. Have you read this before? It says the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. The violent are the determined people. People who are focused. People who leave everything aside just to do what? To partake of God's kingdom. We have to leave everything. Amen? You have to leave the ignorance in this world. Because in reality, the people of this world are what? Are dead. If a man lives without a knowledge or understanding of God's kingdom, he's what? He's dead in the sins and trespasses. It's like somebody in a graveyard, long dead, not aware of the truth. He cannot see, he cannot hear, he cannot talk. Amen. Hallelujah. But we have to do what? Awaken and now take this kingdom by force. This is the determination. Amen. Take this kingdom of by force. Hallelujah. In Psalm 24, this is Psalm of David. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has a clean hand and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those that do what? That seek thy face, O Jacob. Hallelujah. Let's pause there. You hear what he's saying? He's talking about who will do what? Who will ascend into your hill? Amen. Or who shall stand in your holy place? Hallelujah. You see it? The psalmist is placing emphasis on the holy hill of what? Of God. What is the holy hill of God? What is the name of the holy hill of God? Yes, Mount Zion. It is a spiritual mountain. It talks about the high place of elevation in the spirit. Amen. This is the place where God is found. Amen. So the only way we can find God and His glory, the only way we can find God and His blessings, is when we do what? Ascend. Amen. It's only when we ascend unto the holy hill of what? Of the Lord. Amen. When we ascend, then we, then leave that, just leave it, just try and concentrate. When we ascend to the holy hill of God, what happens? That is where we can find the glory of God that we seek. But then again, you know, God in His wisdom always gives us clue on how we can ascend. He says that who are those who can ascend? He says those who have what? Who have clean hands and what? Pure hearts. These are they who have not what? Lifted their soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. These are those who have not lifted their soul up to vanity. What is this vanity that men lift up their soul up to? Yes, it is the material sense of life that we all inherited through our carnal minds. Vanity, the things that you see in this world. Amen? They are what? They are like dust. Amen? When Adam fell from that mountain, because Adam was upon the mountain of God, Adam was upon this particular hill that we are seeking today. And what? When he fell from that mountain, he fell because he lifted his soul up to vanity. Amen? He exchanged his immortal, incorruptible, glorious form, spiritual form in the likeness of God, for that of what? Of a mortal man of the dust. Adam exchanged his glory, but because Adam was created in the image of God, he was a spiritual being, immortally incorruptible. But he succumbed to the temptation of the devil and did what? He exchanged the truth for the lie. You read this in Romans, when you live here, read it in Romans chapter 1. He exchanged the truth for the lie. The truth is his true original identity in the image of God, which is Christ. And he exchanged it for that of a mortal man of the dust. Amen. That is the cause of all the problem you see today in the world. It's because man is walking according to the what? Flesh. We have to now come to the place where we walk according to the Spirit, where we walk by the Spirit, where we are always in the Spirit, where we see things by the Spirit. No more after the flesh. This is the only way we can conquer the hill of the Lord. It's when we begin to transform ourselves back into that original image of God and live as gods upon this earth. Our soul has to now begin to, you know, be aligned back to the truth. Our soul has to now be aligned back to the true original image of God. No more after that identity after the flesh. We must reduce in that our in self-identity. That I identity that we have all born in this world must be cancelled. That's why Jesus Christ says you must pick up your what? Your cross. Crucify that vain man of the flesh and pick up the man of the Spirit. That is the only way we can see life. The way to life is death. Except a corn of wheat does what? Fall to the ground and die. It abideth alone. But when it dies, it now brings forth. We must die to live. That is why we have to now begin to live a life after the Spirit. Amen. And this thing comes by revelation. It comes by meditation. It comes by interacting with the Lord. It comes by fellowship with the Lord. Amen. Constantly with the zeal of the Lord, let the fire of the Lord burn in us. Amen. Dedicating time to the things of God, dedicating to time to fellowshipping with the Father. Hallelujah. Then this thing occurs. Hallelujah. John, if you turn to the book of 1 John, look at it in the paper, 1 John chapter 3, from verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that has this hope in him purified himself, even as is what? As he is pure. Every man that has this hope purified himself, even as he is pure. Now, John is saying something here. He's saying that God has called us to what? To be sons of God. Now, to be son of God is not just a thing of the mouth. It's not something, you know, people have used this word, we are sons of God, over the years. Everybody, every Tom, Dick and Harry uses the word, we are sons of God. Look, to be a son of God talks about walking in the power, in the glory, and in the likeness of what? Of the Father. Amen. It's a very high calling. Now, John is saying here that our true form is known as what? As it comes. Amen. That we are going to be transformed, each and every one, as the Lord appears. Where does Christ appear? He appears on the inside of us. As he appears on the inside, we are transformed into that image of the Son of God. Amen. We are transformed into that image of the Son of God as the light, as the Christ within emerges. We are transformed into that spiritual, glorious image of the Son of God. Listen to me carefully. This is the hope of our calling. The hope of our calling is to be transformed, what? Into the Son. Because all the blessings and all the power and all the glory and everything that you can ever think of has been bestowed upon who? The Son. The Father has given everything to the Son. So if you find yourself in the Son, you find yourself in the favor of God. You find yourself in the glory of God. Amen. And the Son is the one that seated upon what? The throne of God upon Mount Zion. So if we are in the Son, we are where? We are upon Mount Zion, ruling and reigning over creation with God. And this is the will of God. So John is saying here that in verse 3, 1 John chapter 3, he says that every man that has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. How do you possibly purify yourself as Christians? Because we have to purify ourselves to attain to that place of the Son. Because the Son is what? Is pure. The Son is light. Every trace of darkness in us has to be dispelled. Purifying ourselves in us, purifying ourselves is not the way the world thinks it. You don't purify yourselves by trying to wear scarves or trying to wear, you know, skirts that reach to your feet, or you wear dresses that reach to your fingers and covers everything, or you cover your face with a veil. All those things do not purify you. Amen. Purification comes by a regeneration, a transformation of our thinking. Because the corruption that is inside of men, the darkness and the wickedness that is inside of men, actually generates from where? From the thoughts faculty, the thoughts that we have in us. The wickedness that is inside of a man, of a carnal mind, generates from where? From the mind. Have you seen a serpent that crawls on the ground? That is the image of what? Of a carnal man. A carnal mind is of the earth. He sees only the things of the earth. And his mind is what? Is fixed on the things of the earth. Jesus Christ says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. If your treasure is upon the earth, if your mind is fixed upon the earth, like the carnal man who is in the image of the serpent, what happens? You can only breed wickedness and hatred. Amen? You can only breed jealousy, isn't it? Competition, strife. But when your eye is single towards God's invisible kingdom, which is actually the true kingdom. Amen? Do you realize that the things that are not seen are actually the real things? Do you know that the things that you see actually do not exist? They are only temporary. In a moment, they are gone. Hallelujah. Look at the richest man in the world. Is it Bill Gates or Warren Buffett? All these men that you call rich men, richest men in the world. Hallelujah. If they live a life outside the knowledge of God, they discover at the end of the day that they never really had anything. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how long. It can take a thousand years, but you can rest assured that any physical thing that has been acquired upon this earth might change hands tomorrow. The things that we see are what? Are temporary. But the things that are not seen are what? Are eternal. Amen? So the man who is of the Spirit, the man who is of God, the man who puts on the mind of Christ, has his mind fixed on God's invisible kingdom. Amen? And let me tell you something. There's one advantage to this thing. Paul wrote in a letter to Timothy, he says that if you hold on to this doctrine, you are assured of the life to come and of the life, the present life also. So in other words, you cannot lack when you choose to walk in the Spirit. Because at times people nurse the fear of how will they survive. If I'm going to walk with God after the Spirit, how are they going to survive? How are they going to eat? How are they going to, you know, make ends meet? How are they going to, you know, how are they going to get their house? How are they going to pay, you know? See, but this is a mystery. Hallelujah. Our own part is to do what? To seek the kingdom, and the rest will what? Will follow. Hallelujah. The rest will follow. So anybody who has this hope, anybody who seeks to conquer Mount Zion, must purify himself. Try and wake up, please. You must what? Purify himself. You purify yourself by putting on the mind of Christ. Amen? The mind of Christ is a spiritual mind. Amen? That sees things according to the Spirit of Christ. I told you there are two trees in us. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is the carnal spirit. Remember, it's one with the serpent. And when you take of carnality, what you can do is only reap what? Death. Paul wrote in his letters, he said, to be spiritually minded is life and peace and prosperity and joy and everything. But to be carnally minded is what? Is death. Death. So we have to change our thought pattern. We have to, you know, leave off the things of this material world and begin to sower in the realm of God. Sower in your inheritance in the heavens. Begin to walk by faith in the heavens and begin to commune by faith with the heavenly host and begin to recognize the people for the way they are recognized of God. Amen. When Jesus Christ was here upon earth, he did not go about recognizing people that this is a Jew or this is a Samaritan or this is this or this is that. What Jesus Christ ever saw in people, all that Jesus Christ saw in people was the seed of what? Of God in them. Remember when they caught the woman in adultery? And the people, as usual, those people who came to accuse her and try to stone her to death, these are actually people feeding out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. These are offsprings of the serpents. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil works according to appearances. Amen. It sees the outer part. That's why it does not see the inside. And when they brought this, what did Jesus Christ say? He didn't say anything. He said, if any of you is without sin, kill her. What Jesus Christ did was to go upon the ground, to start writing upon the ground, which signifies that he was talking of a transformation. He was writing the word upon the light. This is a kind of ministration he was giving to the woman. Amen. And this is what every one of us needs in this hour. Amen. Jesus Christ recognized the seed of God in that woman. He did not see her as a sinner. He recognized that inside of that vessel is the Son of God. And this is the realm that we have to walk in by faith. Amen. At times it can be difficult. At times you meet all kind of obstacles. At times you meet all kind of characters, all kind of people along the line. You see, but if we stay on the Lord and we keep up in the fellowship with Christ, we keep on fellowshipping in Christ, we keep on fellowshipping in the Word, it is the Spirit of God that what strengthens our inner man. Even Jesus Christ made a statement when he was going to the cross. You see, what people do not realize is that Jesus Christ too had his own temptations. You know that? There was also the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, all within him. And he had to reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and take of the tree of life. That is why Jesus at the cross, what did he say? He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But he did what? He prayed fervently. He prayed fervently. And he said what? He said, Father, thy will be done, not my will. Not the will from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which seeks to keep itself. But I take of your own will, which is from the tree of life. And I follow you, Father, in obedience. And what happened? That was how he succeeded. The Bible says that God dispatched an angel to strengthen who? Jesus. To strengthen him. And with that strength, Jesus Christ went and fulfilled the will of God. But he did, he prayed fervently. Amen. Some of us have to come into a place of fervent prayer and, you know, waiting upon the Lord, seeking the face of the Lord, searching out the scriptures, fellowshipping in the Spirit, and the Lord strengthens you by his word so that you can fulfill this task of walking in the Spirit. And you begin to walk in the Spirit in this crooked and perverse dimension. It's no easy task, eh? You really need the grace of God. But the Lord will cover you and he will keep you. He will strengthen you, your inner man, which is the spirit man. Hallelujah. And when you walk in the Spirit, you now become like a father to nations, giving life unto as many as come across your way. Hallelujah. So this is how we can capture the mountain of God. We have to lay hold on the truth. Amen. Jesus Christ himself being found in the form of flesh and blood, had to, you know, lay down that life that he had here and pick up a new life, which is the life of Christ. Amen. That's why I kept on saying, what, I go to the Father. Remember, I said it several times. I go to the Father. Where does the Father do? It's upon Mount Zion. It's an ascension. It's a spiritual ascension. Amen. Where we ascend from the lower dust parts onto the spiritual peaks of God's presence. It's an ascension that occurs within us, where each and every one of us can walk boldly in the presence of God, even as we walk in the midst of this perverse generation. As you are here upon the earth, you can actually be in the presence of God upon Mount Zion. Hallelujah. It is a calling, a high calling for each and every one of us. We have to ascend the hill of the Lord, ascend to the place of glory where the Father is. Amen. It's something that we have to do. Go to John chapter 17, verse 5. I'll round up with this. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You see it? You see, this is the aim of the Father, of Jesus, isn't it? You know, if you are about to go out to do something, you must have a goal, isn't it?
Yes.
You must have a goal. The goal of Jesus was what? The glory of the Father. Amen. He had served faithfully as a servant. He had obeyed the word of God. He had obediently picked up his cross. And now he's saying, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with you before this world was. What does this statement mean? Before this dark world was. Before he found himself in the form of flesh and blood. Now, Jesus Christ himself had to go through his own deliverance. He had to, you know, ascend back to that place. And being the pattern son, we all have to follow the same path. That's why it says, follow me. It is the Christ in him saying, follow me. We have to ascend back into the glory of the Father, each and every one of us. Because each and every one of us did what? We came out from the glory of the Father. Amen. And Christ is here to educate us, give us understanding, and to cause us to go back into our place as Elohims in God. To go back to our place in the immortal glory of the Father. Amen. It's a place where all the ills of this world are no more. Amen. Diseases, and all the sicknesses and all the pains and all the anguish of soul and all the hate and all these things you see around us are of this world. Amen. But when you are sent back into God's presence, you discover that everything what dissolves. Amen. We find a place of pure light, pure love, perfect peace. A peace that the Bible says the world cannot understand it. You cannot understand it. Amen?
Amen.
It's a peace that is beyond the comprehension of men. It's glory that is beyond the comprehension of men. And we talk of all power. Everything at the disposal of those who find themselves back in the glory of the Father. So the message in this hour is to what? Ascend. Amen. Back to the hill of the Lord. Hallelujah. And as you ascend back, the gates are what? The gates are open. Amen. That's why if you go back to Psalm 24, when it says, verse 7, lift up your gates, your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, O ye everlasting door. and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He's the King of Glory. Hallelujah. I want us to realize that in our ascension, we are transformed back into that King of Glory. Amen. Having born, having had the image of the man of the earth, the second image, the image that we are all to bear, is the image of what? Of the Lord. Amen. As we ascend, we put on the image of the Lord, which is our true identity. The image of the Lord is the image of Christ, because Christ is the one seated upon Mount Zion. Amen. And as we enter, the gates of what? Heaven are open. Hallelujah. Open, O ye gates, so that the kings of glory might enter. Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ ascended after his resurrection, you remember?
Yes.
He ascended into clouds. Now, he ascended into clouds is a spiritual movement. It's a spiritual sign that every child of God must what? Must fulfill. We all are going to follow that same pattern. Amen. And as we ascend in the sky, the eternal gates of God's kingdom are open for those who have fought this battle of faith unto the end. Amen. So this is the hope of our calling. Let us be focused. Let us understand what we want. Because this world that we live in is temporal. Things are what? Are passing away. But those who do the will of God, do what? They abide forever. Amen.
Amen.
They will never pass away. They abide forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, to you be glory. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Father.